Good morning. We'll open the House Committee on Transportation. It's April 12, 1999. We have some other members who will be with us very shortly, so I thought we'd best get started since all of you came many miles to be here. No one is going to wait for us any longer than you have to. We have quite a list signed up to testify. We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 3344. This is on the weight mile tax, and I think we'll just start down the line. We do have Representative Bob Benson here today. You have guests you'd like to introduce, Kenny Evans, and I think you have some others that are coming up together. If not, we'll start right down the line, and I'll call Kenny Evans first. For the benefit of the committee, we have 10 o'clock session. We'll probably have two sheets of testimony, and we'll get the people who came from out of town first. And we're trying to get a queue for the floor at about 10:15, so plan to stay with us at least 10:15. Keep your schedule clear. Good morning, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'd like to introduce to you Kenny Evans. He is from Boardman in District 57, not only my district, but the home of the Representative Montgomery's youngest daughter, and we find that a very nice area there. Mr. Evans is with TECO Incorporated, which is crane service in Boardman, and is here to testify on House Bill 3344. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bob, and Mr. Evans, I hope you haven't met my daughter in her official duties anyhow. She's a state policeman, by the way. I don't
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ken Evans. I live in Boardman, Oregon. I've been there for 25 years. We've got a crane service, and we have a truck or two that we use in our operation. We've had PUCs for almost 40 years, and we've never been big. Over the years when there was the authority was regulated by the state, it was impossible to get authority because of the big boys. After it was deregulated, it appears now that this is almost another new way to control the small truckers, basically put us out of business. With this new bill, the way it is written now, it will increase my cost, to the PUC or revenue cost, almost seven times. This is something that is very hard to be able to cope with, is the fact that there isn't that much margin in the fact of our trucking. We have have no problems with the fact of the doing the quarterly paperwork. It has been estimated that there would be a savings of $1,000 per trucking company, or $30-some million. In my case, it takes very few minutes to do this when you calculate it out on the thing. I don't feel that there's any savings there, and there might be a small savings in some of the bigger companies, but very little. To me, the most equitable way is the pay for what you use, and instead of slipping the burden down on the 15,000 small truckers so that the major haulers that do run a lot of miles get by cheaper, it basically figures out to me, the way it looks to me, that they are going to cost them $10 a day for their truck for the PUC. And there won't be a weight and mile tax, so they're paying a little more for diesel. And it is a major savings for a small number of individuals. And I think that it's a shame that the small truckers haven't been given more notice of what's going on, how it's going to affect them. I was fortunate the group, the AAA, contacted me and asked me if I was aware, and I wouldn't even be here today, wouldn't even be aware of this bill. And I think that this is something that is real detrimental to the basis of all the small people in the trucking.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Wells.
Thank you. Nice to have you here today. What size of trucks do you run?
Oh, we've got, I think, 74,000 that's permitted at.
And, Mr. Chair, how many miles do they run a year?
About 5,000.
That's scattered out all over the year. You can't, there's no seasonality. You need them registered all the year.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Representative Hill? Pardon me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, others have come up and said one of the rationales for doing this is evasion. Evasion in terms of the suggestions. There's an extremely high evasion rate in terms of those stop laws who are not paying their taxes under the late mile, and this is one way to turn around and get that. In terms of, I guess, the question, and I've asked them the same question, have you ever not reported your miles?
No. When you have your PUCs, I mean, you're audited. It's very hard to evade your miles.
Thank you.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Evans, I'm sorry I arrived late. How many trucks do you have in your business?
We've got one semi, and then we have cranes and boom trucks.
Okay, and the second question, last question, would be, you talked about the paperwork. It's not a burdensome task for you?
No.
Okay.
It has been for 40 years.
40 years you've been in business?
Okay. Almost 40 years.
Well, thank you, Mr. Evans, for driving all the way over here, and drive slow on the way home. Thank you. Next on our list is Jim McCarthy from Beener Trucking.
I thought I was going to go make some lunch. I had a lot more time getting nervous.
Please relax. If you think you're nervous, you ought to be up here.
Okay. Mr. Chair, member of the committee. I'm an ex-insurance salesman, so I've got notes, so I won't ramble. I'm vice president and general manager of Hauling Solutions, and we're located in Lake Oswego. This was brought to my attention by AAA and AOI people. I was not aware of any of this going on until that time. And we're a low-mileage, low-weight carrier. Our four big trucks operate 216,000 miles a year. It appeared originally when we first did our calculations that we were going to be a 17 to 20% increase in our taxes. However, we are one of those special exemption people where it's actually going to go down significantly for us. So I'm looking at this from a different aspect in that I'm looking at it from a revenue basis and a fairness basis, if you will, although I hate that name when it comes to taxes. Let's see. What we're really concerned about is the small truckers in Oregon who, in a competitive environment, are the most likely to have unloaded miles. What I'm getting at in this is that the big carriers that cross our state have ports at different locations where they have freight that goes in different directions all the time. So small local truckers are most likely to grab a load, take it somewhere, and then come back empty, which puts them in an uncompetitive situation to start with. And then, with the majority of these small truckers being low mileage, their taxes increase exponentially under this bill because of the fact that it's mostly registration compared to mileage usage. One of the reasons that it's always been road taxes is because it's always been whoever uses the road, does the damage, pays all the taxes. This does a tax shift to the low mileage, low weight, away from the high mileage, high weight people. There also seems to be some discussion if this is revenue neutral, and I understand that hasn't been studied yet until the final bill, if you will, has some kind of form, so it can be studied. And so I don't want to guess on that, but someone told me that 70% of the taxes are paid by the high mileage, high weight people over 80,000 pounds. If you significantly cut those taxes, I don't understand how it could possibly be a neutral tax bill. Also, one other thing that everybody keeps mentioning is the amount of time it's going to save us. On our four trucks, we use an Excel program that I wrote to do our taxes for Oregon. It takes us a grand total of about 3 minutes to put in our trucks and have the mileage figure kicked out on a monthly basis. 3 minutes to do that. We have to keep track of all of that mileage anyway for IFTA. It won't save us 1 second on a form that we use for the drivers. And I'll just show you. This form is what we use for all the drivers. Very simple. When they enter a state, they put the mileage to enter it. When they leave a state, they put that mileage down and put it on the next line for the state that they're going to. The drivers, which is this form, and its auditing against the logbooks and all that is what takes all of the time. And we won't save a second on that. We have to do all of that for IFTA. So the only savings we're going to have is this 3 minutes it takes our person to put in our Oregon mileage and have Excel kick it out and then put it on the Oregon tax form and send a check. That's the grand total extent of our savings. And I would dare say that big companies have it a lot more computerized than we do.
Pardon me just a second, Jim. I reckon as well, Jim.
What weight do you register your truck? Do you run in-state or out-of-state?
We run in and out-of-state. We run typically Washington, Idaho, in addition to Oregon.
We run 80,000-pound trucks.
42,000 pounds. We're one of the exempt classifications. We do manufactured housing. So we actually get a huge tax rate on this. But we're still opposed to it.
Let's see, I guess one other question. So the 42,000, is the way this is figured out, then you earn that lower registration, and it still costs you more money, or you get savings, you said?
I will get savings in this because I'm, whatever the term would be, grandfathered into an old registration fee, and I only pay 25 cents a gallon. Right now, we figure it costs us about 37.5 cents a gallon for taxes. That will go down to 25 under this plan.
Plus your registration.
Plus our registration stays basically the same. If we were a normal, quote-unquote, trucking company, we would pay the significantly high registration fees with the lower gas tax, and under low mileage situations, it would never offset the increased registration fee.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, that's all I have. All right, for any more questions?
Well, yes, Representative Cuomo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If currently it works out to about 37 cents a gallon, and if you were to have to pay the full registration fees, what have you figured out what it would be on a per gallon basis?
We didn't do per gallon. What we did was we did analysis of what our current tax situation is and what it would have gone to. And I have that number here. We are currently at $13,353, if you want to be exact. Okay? Using that same scenario, under the proposed system, we would go to $15,848. It's about $2,500 more, so somewhere in the 17 to 20% range of increase if we were a quote-unquote normal trucking company. Now, unfortunately, there's a heck of a lot of us. We're all Oregon. We don't have economies of scale. It's not easy for us to eat this up. This all comes out of the bottom line.
Okay, thank you very much for taking the time to do this today. We appreciate it. Next is Cascade Warehouse, about to have 2-1, I believe.
Stuck in Ohio during Canton 1.
Okay. What up?
Mr. Chairman and the committee, I appreciate this opportunity to testify before you today. I'm in a lot of ways similar.
Would you say your name?
Oh.
Our man's not there anyhow.
But I'm listening.
So my name is Scott Cantonwine, and I'm the president of Cascade Warehouse Company, located here in Salem, Oregon. And I'm a little bit comparable to the last person to testify, in that we run 20 trucks. And just for your information, that is a breakdown of the trucks that we operate out of Salem, Oregon. And two reasons just to show you the simplification of the monthly reporting process. And then at the same time, our trucks average about between 5.5 and 6 miles a gallon. So you hear a lot about numbers and both for and against. So you've got the ability to take those numbers there and use them actually and factually.
Let me interrupt you for a moment. This is the form you fill out once a month?
That's the form that our company fills out on a monthly basis.
Well, I have indication. We've had testimony with people coming after holding up papers like this that they fill out once a month. What papers are those?
There are a number of different combinations, and our particular trucks are 104 and 105,000 pounds, which is at the top end of the scale. We report our miles, and the miles are a multiplier of 0.151. You add the miles up, and you cut a check. We run a number of different combinations, and in our particular case, it's just like, you know, if you want to save 30 cents on a box of Tide at Walmart, you can run around and do all of the checking and whatnot, but by the time it's all said and done, it's very simple just to report your miles, multiply the fees established by the Department of Transportation, and pay the fee. Dealing with the weight mile tax issue has been a historic endeavor in the state of Oregon, and from a legislative standpoint, I think there's a couple good rationales to change existing legislation. One of them would be overriding support, and the second would be an effort by this body to provide what they perceive to be the public good. And in this particular case, I think you can see by the single piece of paper that you have in front of you that the process is extremely simple when you look at the amount of dollars that are reported. And administratively, it is unique. The amount of money that is collected in a simplified process by the payer of the tax is extremely simple. And if, you know, from a manner of speaking, this particular fee that is collected is a poster child for user fees. If the ports, if the airports, if the railways could collect their fees in this simple a matter, I think we'd all be better off. And we hear a lot about revenue neutrality, and the one thing that I would just like to clarify for your sake and for the sake of argument from my vantage point is that revenue neutrality is not the same as an equally accounted rail weight mile assessment. In other words, in the scenario that you've got before you now, is the dollars and cents might be the same, but it's the burden that is placed on a different sector of the weight mile tax payments. And you know, the willingness to rely on out-of-state trucking to provide support for our state's roadways is something that myself, as an Oregon-based carrier, is not willing to stand for. And with that, I would take any questions that the committee might have.
We have a couple of questions here.
How long have you been involved in the trucking business?
Cascade Warehouse has been in business for better than 40 years. So we've been in the Public Utility Commission, taxation, weight mile, basically since it started. We've been in this particular business with the heavier trucks for 15 years.
Sure, Mr. Kenway. has technology made the reporting of the weight mile significantly easier in the last 4, 5, 10 years?
Well, I mean, I think it's a two-phase approach. Technology has no doubt made it easier, but an ongoing business person is always looking for the most efficient configuration, the most efficient routing. These are data that are being generated. If there were not a tax, our company would be doing the same thing just as part of the price. It's like our machinery. We need to know how much output our capital expenditures are bringing us as a company. And these are information that are being gathered on an ongoing basis, regardless of if we had to pay a weight mile tax or not. So it's just part of doing business for us.
President Trumbull,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have a fleet of only 9 trucks in your...
That is just a segment of our trucks. We've got trucks that operate out of Junction City, Oregon, and then we have some trucks that operate out of Chehalis, Washington, going back and forth between Salem and Oregon. This was just a snapshot of the trucks locally, so as you're out on the roads, you might actually see some of them go by to legitimize that.
Okay, follow-up, if I may. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if someone were coming in and they were holding up a whole bunch of papers like we had happen last week talking about their reports being cumbersome and that sort of thing, could that potentially be because they have a larger fleet of trucks because they brought all of their paperwork in instead of a
Well, and I think that's a good question, but at the same time you have to ask your question. How much of that paperwork would they have to generate anyway just in the ongoing course of business? And at the same time, how much of that business that paperwork is excessive because of the weight mile tax consideration? I would say that you would have a hard time, or they would have a hard time justifying that there is an inordinate amount of excess paperwork to come to the miles that they travel in the state.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Do you think that there's a problem with companies evading the weight mile and going around the scales and doing all of some of the things that have been represented to us?
Well, myself personally, I do not, and I would just add to that the evasion is there in any collection process. And statistically speaking, the evasion is far less in this particular weight mile environment than it would be in a fuel tax collection environment.
Very well.
Thank you. Evidently, these trucks run all in Oregon because you show the exact odometer readings, so it makes it fairly simple just to take the odometer readings because you don't have to prorate between the states.
That's correct.
That true?
That particular month, those trucks all traveled in the state of Oregon.
That does make less paperwork when you don't have to prorate between the states and keep track of all that sort of thing. You can just go out and get off your odometer. So then when you're audited, can ODOT go out then and look at your odometers and make sure that these...
Certainly those correct. Correlate to the logbooks, and the only additional calculations you have to do in the other states is keep track of your gallons. It's all a mile reporting status, whether you're in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon. The only difference between those states is that you have to keep track of the gallons consumed, and it's just one more calculation. So the paperwork, as far as a tax collection at the pump, the paperwork is not going to vary as far as I can see it.
Is it Taylor in the Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, are you a warehouseman? Are you a drayman?
We're a freight consolidator. We bring product in, break it down to distributable lots locally, bring product to our terminals, and both by truck and by rail.
May I continue? Thank you. Are you a member of the Association of Warehousemen?
We're a member of some distribution associations nationally, but we are not a member of any, even of the trucking association.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I asked that because I couldn't find it, but I believe we had testimony earlier from the trucking association that they had the support of the warehousemen, and I just wanted to make the point that probably not every warehouseman is included in that association membership.
Was that a question or a, I hope it wasn't a question. I can't allow to respond. So.
Thank you.
thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on Representative Wells' comments, there are a couple of trucks here that have less mileage reported in Oregon than are over here. So the example you gave us, it does show that there are less miles, you know. So I'm assuming that you've got a log then that backs this up. And
that is correct. And there's a couple of trucks on there that you can pay particular attention to. There's some extremely low mileage trucks that we use as backups, and that would be one of the instances where those trucks would pay a disproportional amount as far as the service they provide our company. When we have a breakdown, we've got a truck that is immediately able to get into duty, and if that truck were have to pay a predominantly higher registration fee, that would become a major obstacle in as far as our day-to-day costs would go.
This is just one particular group of trucks you said out of here, and you have other trucks that are interstate in terms of, in your business, in terms of, does the distance ever change between Salem and Portland? And such that, you know, if you're moving product back and forth, you have a number of customers, and you're traveling the same routes, you're not having your drivers decide one day to, I'm going to go through McMinnville and over to Portland to get to Portland. Is it most of the same? I'm trying to get a sense in terms of the sort of the stageness of the business and the routes that people will go versus, you know, the drivers having the ability to drive all over the state.
Well, I'm not, as far as the routes that the drivers go are pretty much just prescribed. On our outbound trucks, they're going to, you know, lumber distribution facilities. When they're bringing product into us, they're going, you know, to where the lumber mills are. So the routes and the corridors are pretty constant.
So for that purpose, the mileage, hard labor varies, and it would, I'm just trying to get a sense in terms of from an evasion standpoint, it would be really hard to not report even when you're going interstate.
Oh, it would be extremely hard to evade because especially regardless of whether you're traveling the back roads or the various counties have permitting processes which have your, you know, some odometer access. Very rarely can you get to a point without crossing a state road that has a weigh scale or especially the ports of entry interstate, whether it be in Ontario or Southern Oregon or Cascade Locks or whatnot. So the access the state has or some type of auditing function on your mileage is very hard to do.
One final question, Representative Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Scott, just briefly, does the OTA proposal cost your company more money or does it benefit you or is it neutral for you, your company specifically?
Well, to me, I think it would be neutral. I mean, depending upon certain situations. From my vantage point, it's more a dollar and cents allocation to, I'm willing to admit that I do X amount of damage to the roads with my trucks. I'm willing to pay that fair share. So from a cost recovery standpoint, a incremental responsibility standpoint, that's the side which I come down on. And the dollars and cents to me are really insignificant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. I'm going to jump the list a little bit. We have a gentleman who was with us the other day, and we didn't get to him, Mr. Pulse, and he has to leave. So sorry we didn't get to you. Well, you weren't here when the name came up last time. But anyhow, thanks for waiting us out, and thanks for coming back.
My name is Earl Foltz. I'm a small logger with a log truck out of Estacada, Oregon. First, I'd like to say that I think you guys should seriously consider the bill. I think one of these days, soon, Oregon is going to have to go with a fuel tax. Every other state has, and we're eventually going to have to come up with it. I like the idea of a fuel tax. I don't really care for this bill because it's going to penalize me probably completely out of business. The registration increase for my truck, which runs low miles, is going to be more. Even with the log exceptions, the registration is going to be more than what I paid total. in any of the last 3 to 4 years. Last year I ran 10,110 miles. And that is not enough to cover even the registration when you compare the cost in the new bill with what I paid back last year. I also have a number of friends that I work with. We tend to subcontract back and forth. Some are logging, some are in the construction dump truck business. Some of them are going to be penalized even worse. They have dump trucks that run 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year. If they have to pay this full fee, they won't be able to afford to run it. They have to register at 80,000 in order to be able to pull a trailer to move their equipment. And they don't run the truck that much. They move equipment from time to time, or maybe load a rock, but they'd have to pay this full price. My recommendation would be that the bill be amended to increase the exemption for mileage up to 80,000-pound trucks, because there's a lot of trucks in logging, construction, farming that have to be licensed at 80,000. The other thing is, I would recommend that the exemption be modified to where a truck that runs, say, under 15,000 miles a year only has to pay half of the standard fee, and one that runs under 5,000 only has to pay about a quarter. The federal government exempts trucks from the federal highway use tax if they run under 5,000. That's about all I've got to say.
Mr. Chair, if you just represent well, one question and we'll move on.
At 10,000 miles, that'd be at 13.5 cents a mile, be around $1,350 in weight mile, plus your registration fee of $330 right now, which would be $1,680. Under the bill, we have you pay a basic $652 plus $500, $1,152 plus 25 cents a gallon on your fuel. So I can't understand why this bill would cost you so much more money.
With a log truck, at least 60% of my miles are run empty, which would be registration or weight of 46,000.
Okay, I don't know quite how to figure that and how that figures in, but I guess I want to make sure that everybody testifies is really applying their situations that they figured it out in front of us so that we don't get confused on the testimony. That's the only thing. And I don't know really how to figure that exactly either, how that would figure out.
Okay, my registration for 1998, I'm prorated also into Washington. So 88.842% of my registration was in Oregon. That was $284.29. My weight mile, the total weight mile was $784.65, 1998.
Okay, we're not going to get into debating of figures here, Mr. Cole. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us and sitting through the other hearing.
Thank you very much.
Next on the list is Alan Feliska, used equipment source. Good morning, sir.
Members of the committee, my name is Alan Fusker. I have a small company doing business as used equipment source in Portland. I operate two Class 8 diesel-powered vehicles in my business. One is licensed at 66,000, the other at 80,000. I'm an extremely low-mileage operator. In fact, in the last few years, neither of my rigs has run over 5,000 miles in a year. This is unusually low for me. In the past years, it has been higher. I also operate to a degree on an interstate basis, primarily Washington State, Idaho, some California. I'm, as might be apparent, I'm very much opposed to House Bill 3344. Primarily because of the reallocation that is about to occur if that bill becomes law. For years, I've been very proud of Oregon in taxing trucks based on the usage. The benefit, the cost, is determined based on the weight and the mileage that is run. The registration fees traditionally have been relatively nominal in size. I personally, the effect of the proposed legislation on me personally would be either I'll eliminate one at a minimum and perhaps both trucks, with those units being replaced by smaller vehicles that would tend to be favored more fairly under the proposed legislation. I think it'll be unfortunate. I guess I could tear at your heartstrings by pointing out that my business card labels my business as a selective recycler. We deal in primarily used food market equipment and materials handling items. We haul product in and we haul some of it out. And however, I am ideologically opposed to exemptions or other considerations that are proposed by this bill. For that matter, I cannot, in my mind, justify the special considerations that exist under the current rules, but that's another matter altogether. I, again, have been really pleased to be able to defend Oregon as a very equitable state, one which, sure, we have a ton-mile tax. Complying with the ton-mile tax in terms of paperwork has never been a problem for me. I've driven since 1960 for private and common carriers, and since 77, my own equipment. No difficult. I think that the paperwork requirements that are being represented by the opponents of this bill are, in my opinion, grossly exaggerated. Especially those carriers who operate on an interstate basis. It's necessary to comply with IRP requirements, that paperwork dealing with mileage when you cross the state line is going to have to be kept. And good bookkeeping simply requires keeping track of what you're doing. And to assign a weight class based on, in my case, for example, I pulled doubles, which are classed differently as a single trailer, and I also bought the allocationally. Very fair ways to deal with the tax currently. I guess maybe a rather analogous situation might be, again, pointing to Oregon as a very fair state. Traditionally, in dealing with motor vehicle revenues, would be state of Washington, for example. We have a modest registration fee for private vehicles in Oregon. What Washington State on the other hand? Of course, we have a higher gas tax than Washington State does. Washington State sees fit to place a very high registration on vehicles. I don't know how to justify it, but they then experience a lot of people coming to Oregon to register their private vehicles and continue to gain from paying a lower state gas tax. If taxi cab operators and public and private people carriers got together and proposed in the state of Oregon that we lower the gas tax that we currently pay, but increase dramatically registration fees, much like is being proposed in this bill, we would be very suspect of those, of the motive of these people, the proponents of such a bill. And I think similarly, an analysis of the reallocation that is occurring at Whitaker under this bill shows that somebody's going to have to pay the difference. And basically, the people who are going to be paying the difference will be small mileage operators who are going to be characterized primarily by private operators, private carriers like myself, especially those with heavier weight classifications. The bottom line is we have a fair system currently with the ton mile tax, and I see no reason to change it. The small additional bookwork necessary to comply with a ton mile tax is a very small price to pay for the equity that is achieved, where we can pay for the cost of building and maintaining highways based on our actual usage.
Thank you. We've generated a couple questions here, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Briefly, just, Alan, in talking about small mileage operators, in your experience, in your opinion, in operating in other states, do other states have higher registration fees around us that you operate in terms of small mileage operators? And if that's true, does that give you, does that hurt you in terms of a competitive standpoint for you in what you do in terms of your business, or does it give you a competitive edge?
It is true that other surrounding states, namely Washington and California, have higher registration fees. And I prorate my vehicles based on the mileage that I operate in the previous fiscal year in those particular states. And the analogy is, I don't know if it doesn't give me an unfair advantage or disadvantage. I feel sorry for operators in those states who are faced with the interstate operators who pay the whole burden, such as the state of Washington, just as I feel very sorry for private vehicle operators in Washington state who face that too. Put such a high burden on registration fees, irrespective of the benefit that they derive.
Thank you very much. Lennon?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Pushka, you indicated that if this were to go into effect, you would do a different configuration. You would get rid of some bigger trucks and get some lighter trucks.
This is one probable result, yes. And the unfortunate fact,
I would assume that if by doing that you could lower the fees you would be paying and haul essentially the same that you're hauling now.
Not nearly as efficient. Currently, I can, for example, I'll just go to a Safeway store in LeGrand or Prineville or wherever, and I can move that product into Portland, into my yard in Portland, with a heavy combination, long 35-foot lead trailer, 28-foot truck, with my Class 8 power unit. I can bring that 35,000-foot store into Portland in as few as 6 loads. You can well imagine how many 24-foot trucks would be necessary to bring the same product into Portland. From that,
I have a question and a bit of reference formal.
Sure, I guess it's supposed to be the point I'm getting to is that the one thing that you can change dramatically is the registration fee portion of this, and so that there are all that if we were to take the trucks we have today and plug those into this new formula, we might have a lot of trucks that are in fact changing their registration fees or changing configurations to lower registration fees.
Yes, Representative, you were very correct in that, and I think that it's presumptuous to look at current registration and say, these low mileage operators are going to be there tomorrow. They're not going to be there. The thing that is getting back to the people carrier, getting together and proposing legislation. I got to believe that the major carriers who support this bill are aware that those that are most adversely affected by the bill are going to be those who are going to eliminate their pieces of equipment and resort to common carriers. It's got to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very briefly, with the proposed gas tax increase, if the current system of weight mile were to stay in place, do you have any idea what that would do to your cost? What kind of percentage increase it might it might entail, and I realize that there's a lot of blank spaces in the proposed gas tax increase.
Yeah, I don't know if you're referring to, currently under the current ton mile tax, we do not pay based on consumption as the gas tax does for private vehicles and gasoline powered vehicles. We pay, as an alternate, we pay based on our ton mileage.
If I may just clarify, I understand that, but one of the things that's in the proposal of the gas tax increase, and it's a 4 cent increase, is a corresponding increase in the weight mile tax.
I see.
So that to try to maintain the equity between user groups. And I was just wondering if you had an opportunity to maybe look at that to see if it might, what kind of an increase that might affect you with?
It's taken apart as rather, as long as it would not be, if there would not be an increase in registration fees, and I don't know, I'm not that familiar with that aspect of the registration, rather of the category, but as far as increase in ton mile tax, and of course, any increase in I see that would be objectionable because it would be related to the benefit, that is, by the actual cost, the actual benefit derived by the taxpayer, unlike that in the proposed bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lisker, for being with us this morning.
Very happy to deal with
you. Next on our list, we have Representative Cup. No.
No.
He just left. There he is. Representative Knope. You have a guest? For the benefit of the committee, we have been excused at 10:30. We will stay here until 10:30, and we have a long list of people to testify, and you're full of questions today, so we'll just stick it out. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll be brief. My job here today is to introduce an important business person from my district. His name is Tim Laracco, and he has a business in Bend and has several employees, and he has some trucks, and he wanted to share how the proposed legislation could potentially affect his business, and I know he's worked hard on his testimony, and so I will not hold that up, and I'll let him get to his testimony, and I need to get back to my committee, but thank you for hearing him. He's come a long way.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thanks for your time today. My name is Tim Laracco. I have a small company in Bend, Instant Landscaping Company. We are the distributors of landscaping supplies. Our main business is distribution of turf, sod. We have 8 fine drivers. We have 6 vehicles. We have 2 vehicles that are on the bottom of the weight scale at 28,000 pounds. We have 2 vehicles that are about midway on the scale of 47,200. We have 2 vehicles in the 80,000 pound range. I heard about House Bill 3344 because I'm a member of OTA. I became a member of OTA for safety reasons and to be aware of compliance issues. They've been very helpful in the past, but they are definitely a serious threat to my business and my employees' livelihood. To give you a brief idea, basically as the proposal stands, the increase rate amounts to about 68%. Our two vehicles in the 28,000 pound range, and the 2 vehicles in the 47,200 pound range are about wash. The problem that we have, and the problem that a lot of small trucking companies will have this proposal. And what I really feel is a definite flaw with the OTA proposal is heavy vehicles with low mileages. It's just wrong. It won't work. And something is going to give. I've talked to OTA about this. They ran the numbers. And part of the reason, to give you a little bit of insight of where I'm at and where other people is at, is in our business, we spend less time on the state highways and a lot of time in residential neighborhoods. If you had a home or in Central Oregon, we run out to a grower near Smith Rock, and we pick up heavy loads of sod, and each one of those pallets weighs 2,750 pounds. We carry one of those little forklifts on the back of our heavy truck, and loading time is substantial. And then we go into residential neighborhoods, and we spend a great deal of time unloading that material. So we actually spend 56% of our average day not on the highway. OTA has a short list of specialty groups that get preferences, and our company doesn't. When I first heard about this bill, my first reaction was, for 20 years, I've been paying into this system. I felt it was fair, although even in 1998 and in the past, we compete against people that virtually pay no road taxes. We compete against farms up and down Highway 5 and a farm in Central Oregon that run some farm plates that don't even apply. So just on top of that compounds the problem. Another issue that I feel I would hopefully wish you could consider is in small business, there's going to be a downrisk. Small businessmen don't give up easy. And who's going to suffer is the vehicles and the drivers. I'll compare our safety record with our vehicles and drivers with any carrier in the state of Oregon. And I would hope that you would just hold back. And I think my whole opinion of what OTA is doing is just kind of rushing into this. And I attended a small fleet conference in February from OTA. I spent my $100 in a hotel room in Portland, attended the whole meeting, and not 1 minute was spent on this proposal. And so I just ask you to please just step back a minute and consider, actually you as members of the public, if you think of how many small businesses deliver products to your home, are really going to be affected also. I feel some of the very best drivers, I have to attract good drivers, great drivers, because they're not just traveling up and down Highway 5 or Highway 97. They're visiting people that have their big investments in their home, and they have to meet those people and unload heavy materials off the street onto their property. And those jobs are going to be in jeopardy. You have any questions?
Yes, I have a question, if I may. You mentioned earlier that the farm plates, a farmer comes over here, picks up the sod and takes it back to bins. Number one's okay, but number two, do they sell it to individual people in, or that they use it on their own farm, there's no problem with it?
I've looked
into it. If there's something wrong there.
I've looked into it a number of different times, and I may be wrong, but from my understanding, farm plate requirements are they pay reduced registration fee, and they pay virtually no road taxes. Now, that's not to say that every farmer in every vehicle they have operates with farm plates. it's obviously to their advantage to run the arm blade. That's just a fraction of the benefit. The other benefit is CDL driver compliance. Probably one of the best things that ever happened in the state of Oregon. Probably, I mean, you talk about paperwork with reporting of B2C miles is nothing compared to compliance with CDL drivers. The requirements for farms is virtually nil. It involves lax requirements for drug checking, but that's another issue. But it is an issue with skimping by the small businessman, skimping by if he has to take on a budget that's slashed. And that's the big issue with drivers for everybody in the state of Oregon is driver safety. And so paperwork of TUC miles is one thing. You have to have the time to put into making sure your drivers are absolutely safe, and it should be that way.
Well, thank you very much for coming over this morning. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Next on our list is Bruce Briggs and Don Thompson from Bonco. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for coming.
Members of the committee. I'm Don Thompson. I own a small construction company, Donco General Contractor in Roseburg, Oregon. We own, you mind if I stand?
Well, how do you feel?
Can
I stand and listen to you?
Anyway, we own three trucks. A 5-yard dump truck, which is gas, a 10-yard dump truck, and that's 26,000 pounds. A 10-yard dump truck is diesel with 48,000 pounds. And I have an excavator, so I have a little boy heavy hauler to haul it. It's registered at 96,000 pounds. Now, to make it very, very, very simple and to the point, my best calculations is going to cost me about $5,100 to license those three trucks above what I pay now, because I always, my whole total mileage last year was 5,200 miles, and 500 or 600 of that was exempt because I was in the forest. We do forest work. Now, I'm not a logger, so we campgrounds, bridge repair, habitat, you know, rehabilitation, stream rehabilitation, stuff like that. We don't get to work. Now, one thing I would like to say about that, most of our work has to be done between June and October 15th. We bid a year in advance for this work, which I have work to do next this coming year, in July. Our work is time limits are very short on these jobs, so I have to have my enough equipment that we can haul rocks, whatever we have to do, culverts, and get our excavators and job, because we have many, many sites sometimes, maybe 200 or 300 sites we work on in 1 month, and we move a lot. I just bought this little boy last year and licensed it to $380 for the year. Now, this is going to cost me $4,276 just for the license for 1 year. I mean, I can't handle it. You know, it's just way too much. We gross about $300,000 a year on a good year. I mean, that's gross income. Bruce is my main man here, my wife, and that's it. And once in a while, we hire an extra person. We all work hard to do what we have to do, but this is going to kill me. $5,000, roughly, give or take here a thing or two. The extra fees.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Taylor and then Wells.
I was just going to ask Mr. Thompson if you could register your vehicle for half of the year under the proposal before us. If you work from June to October, if you've considered there could be a break.
Well, that's 3/4 right there, ma'am. I'm sorry, Representative here. That's 3/4. And 9 times out of 10, I would only pay in 3/4 $275 or $80. This time here in 3/4 be 30 something. I'm a little quick with the math. It's still way out of, that's just the one truck. The other trucks are, you know, we're real low mileage, so we get some help with that. But this, with this 80 plus 80,000 pound deal,
Why did they stop at 80,000 pounds? Why didn't they go on and let it be a low mileage break all the way to the top if they have to do this?
Sorry.
Thank you, Don. Bruce, did you have something you wanted to say, Mr. Brady?
I guess the only thing I've got to say is from what I understand, is everybody thinks they're going to gain by...
Director, would you say your name? I'd appreciate it.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I'm Bruce Briggs from Roseburg, Oregon. I work for Donco General Contractors. See, my understanding is that with this law, it's supposed to save a lot of paperwork and a lot of money for companies. I can't see in my own mind. I've driven trucks for 40-some years, and the driver does 99% of the paperwork.
Well, thank you both for coming up. That's why we're here, to hear your story, and we appreciate you taking the time to drive all the way up here. Thank you very much, Tom. See you all later. Next on the list is Sharon, I'm going to mispronounce the name, Junction City, Oregon Farming. Chuck, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Sharon Schrank from Junction City, Oregon. We're involved in farming, as well as we do have PUC plates on a truck that we haul alfalfa with as well. We were contacted also by AAA on Easter Sunday and given some information that, quite frankly, scared me to death with this new proposal. So I ran some numbers, and it's not going to impact us at all. In fact, it will reduce some of the paperwork by eliminating the weight mile tax. I've listened to everyone testify today, and the main question seems to be everybody holds up a piece of paper and then somebody came with a stack of papers. I think the one thing you're seeing is the PUC report, and I still call it PUC report, the weight mile report that is just turned in. It's the backup paperwork that you have to have to make that. It was probably the stack that was held up, your driver's record, when they're hauling loaded, when they're hauling empty, because of the two different rates that were brought up to you earlier. Just wanted to clarify that point. I am for this bill. I think it's a good thing. It's time that we try to be more equitable as far as mileage use and fuel tax. I'm for it. I think it's a good thing. Does anyone have any questions?
That's very good. Go ahead. Mr. Mills, you have a question?
Yeah. So the truck, I think, is the truck that you license for weight mile. You've calculated the figures, and it doesn't. You first you said this thing scared you to death. You lost me a little bit where you.
Well,
and then you evidently have looked at the figures and.
Well, I was given some erroneous information as far as my registration fees, et cetera. We will still be able to continue to register with our farm plate as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we have what they call a 1/8 tax-only plate on there. So I pay my miles loaded. Then when we deck the trailers, we pay them empty. We haul alfalfa in from eastern Oregon to our farm.
I guess you still confuse me. This is a farm-plated truck?
Uh-huh.
You don't have anything you pay weight mile on?
I it's farm plated and weight mile tax, yes. It's both. I have both plates on there currently.
Okay. You have proportion plated.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking time to listen to me.
Thank you.
Next on our list is Bill Penhollow, and we have three people with you, Bill, however you'd like to be. Thank you for being patient. Yes, thank you, sir. Just pull another chair up there if you need, Bill.
Yeah.
Then I'll move out. Let you come. Come here. Thanks for coming back, and thank you, Bill Ocean.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Penhollow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. With me today are Dr. Randall Posdina with Eco Northwest, Oliver Snowden, who's the county engineer in Lane County. In the back row, back seat, is John Oshel, Public Works Director of Tillamook County. Our testimony is being distributed to you now. The comments of each of our presenters is included in that material. The first couple of pages in the material, first page is AOC's policy on highway user taxation and cost responsibility. I'm not going to get into that, just allow you to read that. The second page is a resolution prepared by the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, which is an affiliate group of ours, identifying some concerns that they have identified in House Bill 3344. The Association of Counties has historically supported cost responsibility and cost allocation, allocating the cost of users based upon the weight of the vehicle and the damage that they do to the road. We have concerns about the new proposal meeting the several principles that we've set out, including retention of the cost responsibility concept, revenue neutrality, sustainability of this revenue source into the future, and equity for Oregon companies. Our presentation this morning will present information from three viewpoints. Dr. Pausina has been retained by the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, AOC, to review the bill, review the data that has been put together, and respond to us on the issues of revenue neutrality, sustainability, and cost shift. Mr. Snowden is with us today. Mr. Snowden served on the special committee that was established between the 95-97 interim on cost responsibility and weight mile. He brings considerable knowledge and expertise to the issue of cost responsibility, has reviewed federal information from the U.S. Department of Transportation. We'll present some information to you from that viewpoint. And lastly, Mr. O'Shell from Tillamook County will present testimony from the viewpoint of a public works director as he sees this legislation in his day-to-day operations in Tillamook County. with that, Mr. Chair, we'll start with Dr. Pausina and then Mr. Snowden and followed, conclude with Mr. O'Shell. Dr. Pausina is, as I indicated, with Eco Northwest. His specialties are in the area of transportation planning and policy, financial services analysis. He has worked with us previously on analyzing the impacts of vehicles on county road systems and is recognized nationally in the area of cost responsibility and weight distance taxation. Let me turn to Dr. Pausina, and then we'll follow with Mr. O'Shea.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I just want to cover three main points. One is what I call risks.
For the record, would you say your name?
I'm sorry. My name is Randall Pausina. I'm managing director of Econ Northwest in Portland, Oregon. It's an economics and finance consulting firm. I'd like to address three main topics briefly. One is what I call risks to revenue neutrality of HB 3344. The second is what I think are underappreciated effects of the behavioral changes that are likely to occur as a result of implementation of this proposal. And third, to raise the question, do we really need to do this to obtain the administrative cost efficiencies that are purported to be the basis of this bill? Very quickly, on the risks to revenue neutrality, as you know, there was a revenue neutrality analysis that was performed by a coalition of involved parties. And to this date, I see that analysis as being honest, but with the risks loaded up on one side of that analysis. The analysis has assumed that the fleet composition, patterns of registration, vehicle miles traveled, and so forth will be unaffected by the proposal. We had to do that because we didn't have information on how they might change. But you've heard from Mr. I believe his name is Mr. Krishka, for example, this morning, people will change. An 11-fold increase in the registration fee and a 75% reduction in the per mile charge implicitly of operating a vehicle. People will change their behavior so as to minimize their obligations under this program. In the same vein, we had to make assumptions about exactly when these new high registration fees would be received and credit the program as it deserves if it accelerated the payment of those reg fees. Again, we're shooting in the dark here a bit, and I think that's an overly optimistic assumption that we've employed to this point. Third, the proposal institutionalizes stickiness in the sources of revenue over time. As you know, it's extremely difficult to change the default tax rate over time. It's uncanny how common the rate is in the states surrounding us, despite radically different costs in the operational cost of roads. Over time, the stickiness is going to make it very hard to even reaccommodate the system through the passage of inflation and cause further revenue problems in the future, the sort of sustainability points that Bill Penhallow mentioned. Compliance problems with registration fees are not, registration fees and diesel taxes aren't emphasized in the revenue neutrality analysis to date, even though we know, for example, in California that it's a 10 to 15% evasion rate on diesel taxes. Finally, I think in the bottom line of this, I think all of the risks in this are on the side of revenue neutrality not being achieved. And some mechanism to automatically adjust this proposal at a minimum would be necessary if revenue neutrality, if it drifts away from revenue neutrality in the out years. The second main point is about the behavior of trucking firms and what it's going to do to Oregon roads. And under the old system, a typical heavy truck paid about 15 cents for each additional vehicle mile it drove. Under the diesel tax proposal, it's only about 4 cents. On some margin, this has got to encourage additional VMT, but recovering little additional revenue. And we know this is true because we know that VMT varies with fuel price today. So if you change the fuel price, there's going to be some change in VMT. The additional VMT is going to increase wear and tear on vulnerable Oregon roads, particularly the county and local street systems. Finally, the registration fee approach penalizes poorly configured trucks, i.e. trucks with too few axles, less than did the weight mile tax, which is very sensitive to the fact that a heavy vehicle rolling on few axles does disproportionate damage to the same vehicle on a lot of axles. So in many respects, we forecast a growing departure between revenues and costs as revenues don't come up to snuff, but additional cost burdens are placed on the system. And finally, the question is, do we need to do this in order to reduce administrative costs? That is the main argument in favor of this proposal. The other purported advantage is to conform with other states, and this really is kind of a false idol. I don't really see why conformity with other states, unless there's an administrative cost implication, is particularly advantageous. We should be improving the relationship between cost and fees rather than degrading it in the name of uniformity. There are better ways of addressing the administrative cost issue. Technology is making electronic tracking of truck location miles and even onboard weighing more and more economical. And the same equipment can be used to provide administrative or management information that truck operators themselves can enjoy, providing offsetting benefits. I just want to cite one recent test, the so-called Automated Mileage and State Line Crossing Operational Test, AMISCOT, that was conducted by USDOT, Iowa State, and some other state DOTs to demonstrate the feasibility of this. Bottom line of this is that the 10-year amortized cost of the necessary onboard equipment ranged from $150 per truck per year for a small carrier to only $40 to $50 per year for a large carrier. This included in-vehicle recorders, global positioning satellite, sensors or antennas, and communication equipment, and the equipment and software to extract the data. The registration fuel tax approach to truck taxation is very old-fashioned, basically having come into use only because of technical limitations of other methods of collection. Oregon has always been on the forefront of making sure we had a better system of cost responsibility. The reputation of our highway cost allocation study, I would say, is probably the highest in the nation. And the weight mile tax is well integrated with that sense, that precise sense of cost responsibility. The technology, it's unfortunate that we are proposing to regress away from that method, just as we're on the cusp of significant technological opportunities to improve cost responsibility. Switzerland, Australia, New Zealand have all found ways to employ cellular telephone technologies, GPS technology with tamper-proof readers, or GPS technology with communication satellites to get at this issue in a more economical and forward-thinking kind of way. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, representatives of members of the committee, I'm Oliver Snowden. I'm county engineer with Wayne County. And I'd like to make observations on three points this morning. One, implications for county roads if this bill passes. I'd like to comment a little bit on federal conclusions about rate mile taxes and conclude with some observations about reporting requirements. Last year, our organization and AOC contracted with Dr. Pizzina and Echo Northwest to look at ways to reform road taxation for county roads. There were two findings from that report, I think, that are relevant to the discussion in front of us today. And the first is that county roads generally aren't designed to support axle loadings imposed by heavy trucks. And the majority of county roads are low durability construction. There's only one-third of the roads under county jurisdiction that have asphalt concrete or concrete surfacing. And to the extent that heavy truck miles traveled, DMT would increase as a result of the OTA proposal to move away from weight mile, county roads will suffer even more than they do today. Second point from that report was the observation that even though the current weight mile system on average achieves cost responsibility, it doesn't achieve cost responsibility for counties and cities with low durability roads. The current system doesn't differentiate between roadway type, location, or season of the year. So consequently, counties with low durability roads experience excessive wear and tear on their systems and inadequate revenues to maintain their facilities. So we feel that the OTA proposal makes this inequity worse. Already heard comments today about the stickiness of the taxes that would be imposed, so our question would be, where would the funds come from to assure revenue neutrality in the future? Constrained by the states around us and our ability to raise diesel tax and generally any increases in fixed fees, we feel would most likely move away from cost responsibility. Next point is on trends in weight mile taxation. I think we hear frequently that Oregon is only one of five states that has a weight mile tax, and the implication is that somehow we're out of step with the rest of the country. And I think rather than being out of step, it means we're coming closer to meeting cost responsibility than most states do. Dr. Pizzina mentioned that Europe is moving toward weight mile. The Federal Highway Administration, I think, is coming to the conclusion that the taxation system that the Fed has is less cost responsible than a weight mile or weight distance tax would be. Federal government right now has a series of taxes on heavy trucks. They include fuel taxes, which vary with mileage, and three other taxes on the sale of trucks, tax on tires over 40 pounds, and a use tax on heavy trucks that are not distance sensitive. So a couple of years ago, the Federal Highway Administration, in its cost allocation study, concluded a number of things, and I'll repeat the relevant ones here. That is, the diesel tax is very good at reflecting differences in the amount of travel by various vehicles, but does a poor job in reflecting differences in cost responsibilities related to vehicle weight. I think that's consistent with what you heard last week from Professor Hibbert's report. Second, the incidence of a flat tax like a registration fee on a per-mile basis can vary among vehicles with different annual VMT, while the cost responsibilities per mile may be very similar. Again, as Dr. Pizzina said, once you pay that flat fee, your marginal cost decreases with increased mileage. In virtually all truck classes, the lightest vehicles pay more than their fair share of highway costs, and the heaviest vehicles pay considerably less than their share of costs. And I think this is the telling conclusion. The Federal Highway Administration concluded much of the inequity in the existing federal highway user fee structure could be reduced with a weight distance tax because it can be calibrated to the cost responsibility of different vehicle classes of different weights and operational characteristics. Also, there was a 1998 report from Federal Highway Administration that concluded that acceptable levels of compliance could be achieved with a national weight distance tax. And they also noted that mileage records that most carriers already maintain should be adequate to comply with the weight distance tax. The last area I'd like to speak on is that, allegation that there's onerous and inherently unfair reporting requirements to truckers. I've heard commentators indicate if the OTA proposal is revenue neutral and it's only fair or reasonable that we abandon the weight mile, and we would submit this logic misses the point of cost responsibility. And while we're disagreeing that this proposal is revenue neutral in the long term, we do feel that we should explore ways to lessen the administrative burden for placing on truckers with the weight mile tax. Technology already exists today to automate much of the data necessary to comply with weight mile reporting. And as we've seen with personal computers, cost of technology has tended to plummet as demand increases. And we would expect the same thing to happen with the data collection system, GPS, transponder technology that Dr. Christina mentioned. So rather than eliminate the weight mile tax now, just when we are on the verge of technological advances that we feel could greatly reduce weight mile reporting, we're suggesting that as an alternative, you support some of the incentives that are in House Bill 2082 to ease the administrative burden while we transition to, we would hope, a more fully electronic data collection system in the future. As you're aware, House Bill 2082 has incentives that would include tax reductions for any carriers using transponders, tax reductions for carriers that use electronic filing, and it would also spread the payments on a quarterly basis rather than a monthly basis. So, in conclusion, I would urge you to retain the weight mile system. It's the only currently available system we have that maintains and meets cost responsibility. Europe's moving that way. Feds are coming to that conclusion. Secondly, I'd urge you to support the reporting efficiency measures that are in House Bill 2082 to reduce weight mile administrative costs to truckers. And then finally, and we've heard one of the speakers mention today, maybe we should slow down a little bit and not rush into this, and that would give us an opportunity between the sessions to have an interim study that would investigate technological solutions to the truckers' administrative burden. And I think that the study should evaluate automated weight distance data collection technologies, third-party rather than ODOT, administrative and reporting alternatives, system implementation costs, and legislative changes necessary to accomplish this, and submit this report to the 2001 legislature for their consideration. And I'll mention one other thing, and that is that the Board of Lane County Commissioners, by majority vote last week, went on record as opposing any change to our current heavy truck taxation system. And you will be receiving a copy of that letter as soon as that's signed.
Thank you. So I was wondering about the authorizing another study to investigate technological solutions. We have studies and studies and studies, and I'm aware of one that, or a bill that I offered last session, and that study never did get the legislature in true form.
Mm-hmm.
And I am wondering if another study really is going to accomplish
a lot. Okay. Well, all I could say would be that we, on a regular basis, see advances in technology, see costs being driven down in technology, and to the extent that there's opposition to electronic data collection that's based on costs, maybe it makes sense to update some of those earlier studies to look at the actual implementation costs today or next year, as opposed to the ones that were done 2 or 3 years ago.
Follow-up.
Yes, Robert Wilkin.
Well, would this be for different technology other than transponders and the suggestions that are made here seem to deal with that mostly? What other technology are you
using? I'm not responding to that because we are in a study that in a number of contexts, both for automobiles and for trucks. And as to what might be learned by a new study, unfortunately, there are vendors out there who are tripping over themselves to try to get someone to experiment with their technology and meet political opposition or no window of opportunity in the policy agenda in order to implement it. There's one out there today that's literally shopping Oregon, Washington, all over the West to try to find an implementation. So I think a window has to be created for this technology to be experimented with and analyzed, that it could respond to your what type of technology question. It could be anything from onboard recorders, which are tamper-proof and measure where the capture where the vehicle is located, and the information is downloaded periodically. Or it could be on-the-fly technology, the one firm that's the one consortium that is trying to market the technology today uses a communication satellite along with a GPS, global positioning system type technology. And the recording of the mileage that is actually done outside of the truck, outside of the vehicle. But I think policymakers have to create the opportunity. The technology is just sitting there.
President Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Pozena, who's resistant to this technology? You said it's meeting political resistance. Who's it coming from?
Well, I'm talking specifically about two types of technology. One is the CWARM, which is the Global Positioning Satellite Plus Communication System. And they're simply having trouble getting policymakers to give them the time of day in some sense. And I think it's because, again, there's no agenda item for including this analysis. There's no real basis for it. There's no obvious logic for it. The other technologies, which are more urban-oriented, need resistance from a variety of political levels, Metro Council and so forth, who would prefer not to see this kind of technology interfere with the current transportation planning and finance process. So it's a stillborn technology.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. O'Shell.
Good morning, Chairman Montgomery, members of the committee. I'm John O'Shell, Sonoma County Director of Public Works. The good news is about a third of my speech was going to be on impacts to small local contractors. I think you've probably heard enough of that this morning. Frankly, in Sonoma, most of our contractors are one or two dump truck operators towing a backhoe behind them. This impacts them quite severely. We'd like to talk to you about a couple other issues. And speaking at the local level, the vehicles are out there mashing the roads. We talked about the county roads being bad shape. We take a lot of political pressure to put load limits on our roads because people don't like the truck falling on the roads because they tear up the roads. I mean, Tillamook, we got another letter to the editor asking us to keep trucks off the road just Wednesday. The one main thing I can use to tell those folks is, hey, the trucks are paying their fair share. Yes, they do more damage, but they are paying their fair share. As we go away from equity, that argument gets a lot tougher to sell. I was hoping that this transition would get to this equity issue, and I have to tell you my personal opinion, it has not. One of the primary reasons, and I think it's obvious to you, although it's not in the language that's presented to you by the proponents of this issue, is they keep calling this a diesel tax conversion. But I think you recognize that this is really a conversion primarily to a vehicle registration system. Two-thirds of the revenue from this proposal is from vehicle registration. Only one-third comes from that diesel tax. When you look at this, once again, it's the fact that you've got that fixed fee, regardless of the mileage, is what is driving most of the things that go wrong with this system. You heard testimonies about the in-state, out-of-state, and what that does, that the people in-state end up paying more taxes, the out-of-state, that really is driven by the vehicle registration fixed fee, that then the mileage gets prorated different ways. We're concerned when we look at what's happening, and I'm concerned about when you have that much that is way out of balance with the other states, I'm really concerned about the disparity will motivate some high evasion rates. Basically, as you know, the proposal was put together to make the diesel tax rate similar to the states around us. Well, to do that, they made the truck registration fees much higher than the states around us. I've been trying to gather numbers to see specifically. It appears that it's around 2 to 5 times higher than most of the states around us. And it gets apples and oranges, and I'm sorry, so I'm going to grab and give you a bunch of numbers. Let me give you one set for a 50,000-pound truck. Idaho, $360 a year. Washington, $656 a year. Nevada, $850. California, $954. All of these under $1,000 a year. Oregon, around $2,250. Now, it varies from truck size to truck size, but as I look at everything that I have seen, once again, we're talking 2 to 5 times higher. People want to be concerned about evasion rates. That's what drives an evasion rate, is that higher rate. So we have this concern. The last thing I want to talk about, and once again, I bet it's something you've all been thinking about, but I haven't heard put on the table yet. We've got the rate proposal with the diesel tax, with the vehicle registration, that everyone seems to be driving to say, hey, let's keep the diesel tax the same as the other states. When we talk about increases to the revenue needed from the trucks as a class, where are we going to make those increases? I mean, you've got to come and just write in this legislative session. If House Bill 2082 passes, you've got to deal with that 4 or 6 cents or whatever it turns out to be. And the question is, all right, when that goes through and there's the increase, is that increase going to be an increase in diesel taxes? Is it going to be an increase in vehicle registration? Is it going to be an increase as part of both? And then for whatever part is the increase in the truck registration fees, how is that going to be split amongst the heavy and the light trucks? At this point, I haven't heard in the discussion how we're planning on dealing with this for this increase and increases in the future. And I think before we go into the path of this new system, we need to understand that in the future, as we have to increase rates, inflation will keep coming, rates will have to keep going up with time, how are we as a philosophy and a plan going to be increasing the rates of the trucks to try and get more and more towards equity rather than further and further away from equity. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Thank you. One question, Mr. Jerry Pommel. Then we have one other person we'd like to ask to come forward for the benefit of the committee, and then we will continue this. AAA was scheduled, but we're not going to get to you until Wednesday. But David Barenberg, we'd like to have you if you have to come forward today. Go ahead, Mr. Pommel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wonder if, and any one of you can answer this, if you had looked at what would the tax at the pump have to meet revenue neutrality and cost responsibility and all of the other factors and not raise the registration fees or raise registration fees very nominally compared to, you know, some of the fees that we've seen going from, for example, 320 to 3601. Has anybody looked at that?
Yeah, not exactly, but approximately a doubling of the 25 cents.
68 cents. Thank you. Even there, the relationship between the increase in the diesel tax is more linear as opposed to the rate mile tax now, which gets to be nonlinear at the heavier end. So even with increasing the diesel tax to that rate, there may be some internal shift between truck classes within the state.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Thanks for waiting for me to talk to them. We have one other who could. David, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is David Barenberg, and I'm representing the League of Oregon Cities. First thing this issue has done is reaffirmed my decision my freshman year to change out of being an economics major. If with all the meetings and work that has gone on over the last few years, I keep sitting there saying, gee, I'm glad I changed. The League really would like to support this proposal. And I say that for a couple of reasons. Our primary interest in transportation finance is not the method of, or mechanism of taxation, but assuring that we stay true to cost responsibility and assure that we have the revenues raised to be able to maintain and modernize our transportation system. This fall, when I was presenting on the truckers proposal to our board, I said I was hopeful that we were making progress and that we could go through this session with a proposal that we could support so that we could all, with the truckers, go hand in hand and work on providing the revenue to fix our transportation system. Unfortunately, I think that this proposal, or the league thinks that this proposal, doesn't get us there. That the issue of revenue neutrality going into the out years is of grave concern, as also the issue of the assumptions that were used in arriving at the revenue neutrality figures, I think were a bit on the optimistic side, as Dr. Cadenza said. A concern that really, a major concern for us is what the impact of taking the 4-cent increase that this committee passed out would have on the registration or diesel tax level. That if you were going, we asked this question of the truckers in the fall at one of the meetings of the subgroup of the Interim Transportation Committee, saying where would you take an increase in the gas tax if it was passed. The answer at that point from Bob Russell was on the registration fee. Before this committee, in the last couple of weeks, the answer was, we're looking at that. We're trying to see how we balance it. If it was on the registration fee, we're talking about raising the registration fee on an 80,000-pound truck by an additional $1,000. So that, and the impact of it, the raise, if we took it on the registration fee, is to further shift the burden onto the in-state truckers. So it takes that problem that I think has been ably identified by the professors from Willamette and others and exacerbates that by another third. Or, as you heard, if you just take it on the diesel fuel, it's an enormous increase in the diesel fee. So that's the concern, is how do we address with this proposal, it hasn't addressed that increase, nor has it addressed revenue neutrality in the out years. It's interesting to me, and sometimes I feel like I'm a little old-fashioned, is that when I look at a problem, I sort of like to look at and say, what is the problem we're trying to address here, and what is the Oregon problem? I think a bit that has something that's happened in this debate is, I don't know, folks remember back when Johnny Carson used to do the Carnac, the magnificent routine where he'd take an envelope and put it by his head and he'd, you know, open it and blow in it and there'd be an answer. And I think that's what's happened here is we've opened the envelope, looked, and the answer is repeal of the weight mile system. Now what's the question? I think that there are more than the options of repealing the weight mile system and staying where we are. That what has been missing in this debate is focusing on what the problems that have been identified, which to a large degree has been the administration of the system and the cost of the system. There has been a lack of attention, dialogue, or focus on trying to resolve those issues. It has become a high-stakes game of either or, rather than trying to have solutions that can address the problems that have been raised and having a meaningful debate and meaningful discussion of the space in between those two proposals. I think the question that Representative Loken asked in terms of the study is, you know, have we studied this to death? Is it time to move forward? What can a study or what can a work group get us? And I think what we've been studying is, again, is the issue of weight mile or diesel, not the issue of how do we address the concerns with the administration that have been raised. So where that brings us at the League and in our position is that while we don't care about the mechanism of taxation, but we do care about it being true to cost responsibility, being fair, and having the ability to continue cost responsibility in the future, is it brings us back to saying we have to oppose this proposal. And in regard to the one point that I missed was that looking to the future is how do we stay in step of ensuring that any increases we do on the car side stay true with the cost responsibility of the truck side. Just, you know, the practical reality really creates a problem. We're going to take an existing fee of $300+ and raise it to $4,000+. Then I think at the point that constituents get a bill that used to be 300 becomes 4,000, I think that they'll be relatively unhappy, and I think they will probably express that displeasure. And even if that $4,000 fee then is inadequate to raise the revenue and cost responsibility, because we don't know what's going to happen with the cost shifts and consumer behavior, trucking industry behavior when faced with such increases, and we need to then go and raise the fee, I think it will be very difficult, given the increases in those large bills, to come back and do it, just in the practical reality. So with that, I would like to again say that we really do support working on some of the mechanisms of simplifying and making the administration of the weight mile system more cost efficient. Some of the dimensions are included in 2082, also in separate legislation filed by the department to have encourage electronic transporters and reporting to go to quarterly rather than monthly reporting. And I'm sure that if there was a focused attention on that issue, that we could come up with more working in concert with the industry to try to reduce the burden there and the administrative costs. And with that, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify and be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just a quick comment. The image of Bob Russell dressed up as Karnak is a thrilling one indeed.
I don't suppose that was a question. Thank you for thanks for being here, David. Thanks for waiting us out. I'd like to thank everybody who came to the meeting today from Boardman, Roseburg, and every place else. Thank you. We appreciate your long drive for your short testimonies. It's worth it to us. Before we adjourn, Wednesday morning we'll meet at 8 o'clock. We have a few tap-in bills. Will not take long. We'll do a little work session on the two drive bill, and we'll continue the wait mile. And we'll have invited testimony only on Wednesday morning to continue where we are now. Then we'll go into work session in the late mile. We have plenty of reports to go over, and we appreciate everybody being here and getting this through. Thank you very much. We are